Hey, everybody, we are GFBS. We're Grand Forks' best source. On the show today from the Midwest Public Health Coalition, David Waterman is back. Today's show brought to you by First Community Credit Union. You know, you've been dreaming about your forever home. Well, forever, right? Well, now is the time to make that dream a reality. Yeah, now's the time to contact Craig Venske, mortgage loan officer with First Community Credit Union. You know, Craig can make your home buying dreams come true. With the low interest rates and quality service, First Community Credit Union can help you with all of your home buying needs. With rates still incredibly low, now might be the perfect time. Make your forever home dream come true, all right? Contact Craig Venske, First Community Credit Union, 701-757-6805. Or email craig.venske at myfccu.com. First Community Credit Union, equal housing opportunity. Have any questions or comments, feel free to text, or, you know, you can call too. Our phone number here is 701-213-0863. Again, 701-213-0863. And before we get rolling, time now for a daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Easy, quick little joke today. What's blue and not heavy? What's blue and not heavy? That'd be light blue. What'd you think of that one, David?
I like that one. Yeah. I especially think that that was a great one for Paul because Paul's got, Paul's an artist.
Yeah. What'd you think of that one, Paul?
So I bet you liked that one.
No.
No, he
didn't like that one.
I mean, I get it, but it was pretty weak.
All right. It was light.
I think he's calling it
light. It was a bit light.
Yeah. David, you are, man, you're looking dapper today.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Are you. I'm not going to put a tie on.
I don't have one of those fancy hats, though.
Well, I know a guy. Maybe we can hook you up with one. Would you wear it?
Oh, absolutely.
You would?
Yes, okay. I would.
I see you wearing a baseball hat.
As long as it fits me, I've got a bit of a...
Yeah?
The head's a bit larger than it looks. That's the reason that I had to shave off so much of it in the front.
Why do you think I wear glasses like this? Try to make my head look smaller. Doesn't work though.
That's really well. Well, we're both going for the same effect with the glasses. So
yeah.
Hopefully it works a little bit.
Dr. Dan Stanislavski was scheduled to be on the show with you today. Brings a lot to the show. The guy's full of information, and he's a little under the weather today.
He is indeed under the weather, and if he wasn't, he would be here. In fact, he said, "Well, maybe I can call in." I said, "Dan, you rest and get well."
Yeah.
So
we'll have him back next week.
Yes. Yeah. Very, very sharp young man, and has a great deal of information that he's been preparing specifically for this show. Mm-hmm. He's been doing a lot of research on the spike protein that the so-called vaccine is designed to cause your body to produce, and the effects of that on our health. What does it mean to have this spike protein growing inside your body on purpose, because that's the way that these so-called mRNA vaccines are supposed to work, right? They make the vaccine, they make the virus spike, the spike protein, which is supposed to be harmless, grow inside of you so that when your immune system sees it, it attacks it, and then it prepares to attack the real virus when it comes in.
Sure.
Because the spike protein is the first thing that it sees. And so he's been doing a lot of research into that, because there have been scientists and researchers who have been studying how that works in the body. And there are a lot of unanswered questions and a lot of dangers that are not being discussed publicly. And so, but the information is out there, and that's how Dr. Stanislavski was able to find it. And it's scary, actually. So I was really looking forward to what he was going to bring to the show today. I made a point to not double up on what he was doing. Mm-hmm. So I focused on other things for today's show. So this is going to have to be one of those tune in next week.
Yeah. And you know, David, I did kind of the same thing without Dr. Dan here, but here's what I want to do. I just did a little bit of reading this morning, a little bit of research, and I'm just going to go through my stuff, and then I'm going to unleash you. Three positives yesterday in Grand Forks County. Okay. This is something that, well, I guess it didn't surprise me, but Pfizer says their vaccine has generated $3.5 billion in profit the first 3 months of this year.
$3.5 billion?
Yep.
That's just Pfizer.
I did have a little chuckle the other night. Tucker Carlson, I don't know if you watch Tucker Carlson at all. He called Obama a creepy old guy for urging the vaccination, which I agreed with. Now, another one, 7 days ago, VAERS, 3,848 reported deaths from the vaccine. And now they have this thing, vaccine breakthrough infections. That's people who get the vaccine but still get COVID. Now, they say 7,157 fully vaccinated Americans have still got COVID-19 as of April 20th, according to the CDC, and 88 people have died. So, vaccine or not to vaccine? I mean, come on.
The question is, why vaccinate at all? Why even create a vaccine for COVID-19?
Mm-hmm.
Why? No, I'm asking that as a legitimate, serious question. Why should we have a vaccine for an illness for which there are known, safe, and available treatments? Why should there be a vaccine for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like somebody, if there are any doctors out there who are in favor of this vaccine, please call in now.
Sure.
Challenge me on the air and explain it to me. I'd like to understand, because this is my understanding as a non-doctor. I'm a non-medical person, right? Why have we ever done this before? Is this standard procedure to develop a vaccine for something for which there is a treatment, that there are therapeutics available that are safe and effective? And not only safe and effective, available. Mm-hmm. Not only safe, effective, and available, but they're actually affordable.
Yeah.
They're affordable.
No.
So why aren't we hearing about those things? Why aren't we hearing about those treatments? How come it's not all over the news? Hey, there's a way now. It turns out the Ford Medical Foundation has discovered that hydroxychloroquine and zithromycin and zinc, really, they reduce mortality by 50%.
Yeah, but then Pfizer wouldn't be getting $3.5 billion in profits over 3 months.
And now, wait a minute, John. Now you're suggesting that somehow profits could actually play a role in this whole thing?
You think?
Do you think?
You know, the thing is, too, is they wanted to get so much of the population vaccinated so we could have this thing called herd immunity. Well, as we go further and further into time now, it seems like less and less people are wanting to get the vaccination. So that brings up the question, will we ever get this thing called herd immunity?
Well, no, the first question is, what is herd immunity?
Okay.
That's the first question, right?
Yeah.
So here's one of the things that really steams me. On the news, and I put news in quotes, right? Mm-hmm, because it's not news anymore.
Right.
So it's everything coming out of CNN, the COVID news network, is propaganda. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I've watched enough of their broad. I've got better things to do with my time, mm-hmm. But the things that come out of that network are so fallacious, it's frightening, because a lot of people believe it. And they're intentionally skewed, they're intentionally designed to mislead and distort and to force you to think the way that they want you to think, and a lot of people do. You know, look at the mask thing. There's all the key experts, the top experts in the world say the masks can't stop COVID-19. They can't, it's impossible. I mean, I'll go to the wall on that one. It's impossible. It simply can't work. And yet they continue to push that narrative. They continue to push this idea. Well, you need more people wearing masks. And now more people need to take the vaccine. In Israel, 60%, fully 60% of the people who are hospitalized with COVID-19 have been fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
So what's up with that, Paul?
Well, I've noticed too, it's been turning into an ad campaign. Everything that you're going to, like, people are, you know, promoting having their locations as vaccination centers, and then they're giving out coupons and money and all kinds of stuff, which makes no sense. And then, I mean, even CNN, they had that one guy that, like, completely exposed them, and they removed him from Twitter, YouTube, and all that stuff. I can't remember what his name was now. It was the, I think it started with an S.
I'm not sure who that was, but you're hitting on some key bullet points for what I wanted to talk about today. So, yeah, I know you didn't see my notes because I didn't open my folder till you were over there.
And
you're right. No,
and me being in the media business now for pushing 40 years, I can remember when I was young and dumb, first getting into the media business, and I had an oath. I thought I had ethics. And it was to report the news the way the news is supposed to be reported. And that's what kind of gets me. Some of these people now in these major networks, these newscasters, they're reading stuff, they're reading stories, and they know they're not true. I don't know how they can deal with it, live with themselves. But again, a paycheck does make a big difference.
What I was thinking of Project Veritas.
Ah, Project Veritas, right.
Okay.
Yeah, great organization. So you're talking about, Paul, you're talking about how they're making an event out of, yeah, go down and get the vaccine. Yeah. Like it's some kind of a special.
Yeah.
First of all, it's this whole idea of virtue signaling. Yeah, I got my vaccine. I'm sorry. That's not virtuous.
No.
What it means is that you've become a lab rat, not knowing that you're a lab rat. You've basically, by saying, I'm going to go get the vaccine, you're basically saying that you're ignorant about what this whole thing is all about, because it's untested, it's unapproved by the FDA, right? You realize that. The FDA has not approved this. They've given emergency use authorization, which, my understanding, is in violation of federal law, or at least in violation of the way that the FDA is supposed to operate, because they're not supposed to approve, give any emergency use authorization for any pathogen, for any disease for which there is a known and available treatment. Mm-hmm. So if there's a known and available treatment, EUA is off the table. But they got it anyway.
Right.
They gave it anyway to these. It seems, it doesn't seem, it's an absolute fact that the vaccine has been the goal from the very beginning.
Oh, sure.
From the very beginning, I made a video 6 months ago saying, this is the goal. It's going to be driving everybody towards the vaccine. Get a vaccine, get a vaccine, get a vaccine.
But you know, something I could point out too, I mean, if you even go around now within the last couple of months, you know, these places that have opened up and, you know, they're wall to wall packed, you know, with the college kids and the bars and everything. And since it's been going on, I haven't seen all the body bags laid out in the streets.
Yeah, because they're vaccinated, right? So now they're safe.
Well, this was even before the vaccine, though. Everything was starting to open up again. Well
here's the bottom. Yeah, the bottom line is this. This COVID-19 thing has never been a true pandemic.
Mm.
I mean, it started around the world. It all happened at the same time. But in terms of the virulence, in terms of the number of people that were truly at risk, it's a very small number. In fact, it's pretty much the equivalent, according to medical doctors who are experts in this matter, not me, not David Waterman, but according to the medical experts who work in this field all the time, they say that it's really the risks, the level of deaths and hospitalizations is no greater than it is for a bad case of the seasonal flu.
And do you think now that more and more people are maybe taking our advice to do a little bit of research on their own? Because you hear numbers now and you hear from different states, different counties, different cities that less and less people now are trying to get the COVID vaccine. Do you think people are maybe starting to get the drift? Like, you know what? Maybe we ought to quit drinking this really
COVID Kool-Aid.
Yeah. And start doing the research and start thinking about ourselves, but it seems like less and less people, more people are hesitant now, I think, to get the vaccine.
Well, I think that that's true, but I also think that the initial people who got the vaccine were that was the low-hanging fruit, right? Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of people that were primed to get it anyway because they watched the news.
Right.
So they're scared. They're scared. They're terrified. People are terrified. I know that there are people that have been hiding in their homes for a year.
Oh, yeah.
Don't come out of their homes for a year because they're terrified of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they hear that there's a vaccine that will protect them, sure, they're going to go get it. Because they're. And why are they terrified? They're terrified because they're ignorant.
Right? I probably saw on my way to work this morning at least 10 different people, the only ones in their vehicle, and they were wearing a mask. Are you really that afraid?
Yes, and that ignorant. I mean, at this point, I'm going to say, I think that it we've crossed the line from ignorance into stupidity, because the truth is available for anybody that wants it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've talked with people, I've had conversations with people that I care about deeply, people that I love, who absolutely refuse to come to any conclusion other than, well, you're just wrong.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what evidence I show, what facts I show them. They can't reason for themselves. Where are all the bodies? Where are the bodies?
Mm-hmm.
This pandemic that was supposed to be so terrible, where are they? Where are the bodies? Why is it that at first we're going to just shut down? We're going to ask you to shut down for a couple of weeks. We just have to flatten the curve. Oh, that happened months ago. That happened last year. Why are we still even talking about COVID-19? Hey, I got COVID-19, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yep.
I was pretty sick for a couple of days. I was pretty sick. And then it took me another week. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just make a little confession. I went out this past Saturday and handed out a bunch of these. Our little yep. warning, our little information flyer, get the facts before the vax. What you don't know about the COVID shot can hurt you. Top scientists warn the vaccine won't protect you from COVID-19, won't stop the spread of COVID-19 to others, has not been properly tested or approved by the FDA, increases your risk of getting sick from COVID, and has caused thousands of injuries and deaths. Learn more at realcovidfacts.org. So I walked a couple of miles, putting these on the doors of people at their homes so that hopefully they would do some research for themselves. Mm-hmm. and get some, get informed before they take this shot in their arm. I talked with probably just under a half a dozen people who were out in their yards, and I handed it to them directly and say, hey, here you go. And they looked at it and they said, oh, I already got the shot. No, I already got it. I already got it. Oh, really? You got both of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you see more and more people now, especially on social media, wearing the little stickers and changing their profile because they got the vaccine. Maybe they should make the little stickers for if you get COVID saying, I had COVID.
It's right.
Getting ridiculous.
So let's just ask this question to ourselves. If this was truly a pandemic, if this was really all about a pathogen, a sickness, a disease, this SARS-CoV-2, commonly referred to as COVID-19, and you got a vaccine for it, why would you advertise that? I mean, why would you look? I'm a marketer, okay, by trade. Mm-hmm. I do marketing for a living, a film production company that does marketing for a living, so I know marketing. And I'm telling you, what I'm seeing going on around the country and around the world looks a whole lot more like a massive marketing campaign.
Sure, yeah.
Then it looks at all like any kind of a fight against a disease that threatens very, very few people.
You know, the thing about all these people advertising this, that they got the vaccine, I think it's just prepping them for when they get the acceptance of they're going to look forward to getting that tattoo on their wrist.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah. What tattoo? What are you talking about? What are you, conspiracy theorist? You don't have to be conspiracy theorist anymore. It's right in front of us. Mm-hmm. Folks, wake up. I'm talking to the people that are going to forward this show to their friends, not the regular listeners. Because the fact of the matter is that, we've got all these questions that nobody's answering. Why vaccinate at all? We've got these therapeutics that we can use. Why have a vaccine? Why? Somebody answer that.
Yeah.
Why have a vaccine? Because all vaccines have a certain level of risk, some greater than others. This one has never been tested on anybody but a small group of folks, a few thousand.
Yep.
For what, 30,000? For a couple of months, and then they never exposed those people who were vaccinated to the actual natural virus, the SARS-CoV-2. They never exposed them to that during the trial. Why didn't they do that? Well, they didn't do it because it's not ethical, right? You can't ethically expose people intentionally to a virus. So what do you do? Well, that's why we have animal trials.
Yeah.
You expose the animals, you vaccinate the animals, then you expose them to the pathogen and see if they get sick from it. That's how you know if it works. Okay? Did we do that for COVID, for this? Did we do that for this vaccine?
Nope.
Did we have animal trials?
Mm-mm.
No. Dr. Fauci himself said it's so important to have animal trials because if you don't, you can have this phenomenon that takes place where actually the vaccine, if it doesn't work properly, makes you more susceptible to getting sick once you're exposed to the natural virus. Okay? He admitted that himself. It makes you more susceptible to the virus that you're trying to prevent illness from. So that's why you have to do animal trials. But we did no animal trials. Why didn't we do animal trials? Why?
You know, we could do a whole show on Fauci F-ups. I mean, well, he keeps changing his story. And this is something, too. When the pandemic first hit, remember when they were closing down, like, football stadiums and things like this for these massive COVID hospital emergency rooms that they thought were going to be filled up? Right. And this was how many months ago? And not one of them ever got used. Right. So it's not what they thought it was going to be. And it's been a year and how many months? Let's just, I mean, come on.
Why have there been so many deaths attributed to COVID-19? That's question number two. Why so many deaths attributed to COVID-19? Why is it that the standard has been, hey, if somebody's got, if they've got any symptoms of COVID, you can label it a COVID case. Mm-hmm. If they have any symptoms of COVID before they die, you can label it a COVID death.
Mm-hmm.
Have we ever done that with anything before?
Oh, not to mention you'll get money for it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Right. No, I didn't really.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, so once you incentivize the hospital, the mm-hmm. doctor, hey, you get extra money if you list it as a... And look, it's not like you're being dishonest, because if they had any COVID symptom, they might have had COVID. So you never know. So why not take the extra little cash and put down that it was a COVID death?
Well,
no harm, no foul. No, it's a big harm and it's a big foul, because what it's done is it's goosed the numbers out of all proportion. As we've said before on this show... the CDC admitted back in last October that the numbers that they're giving, if they actually went back to the original method of determining cause of death, would be 6% of what they've said it was.
Right.
Which would at this point put the number at about 20,000, not 500,000. 20,000 deaths caused by COVID, not 500,000. 20,000 is a lot different mm-hmm. than 500,000. But at 20,000 deaths... who's going to take the vaccine?
Right.
I mean, if it's only 20,000 people mm-hmm. have died mm-hmm. from this thing, come on, really? A vaccine for what? Why have a vaccine? Why is the vaccine, he puts in quotes because it's not a vaccine, why is the experimental gene therapy still on the market under EUA? Why is it still on the market? How many people have died according to, what was the number you gave me at the beginning of the show, John? What was the number?
Let's see, 7,157 fully vaccinated Americans have still got COVID-19 as of April 20th. 88 people have died.
Right. So they came out with a you remember swine flu?
Came out
with a swine flu vaccine mm-hmm. back then. They tried it out. They started giving it to people. Once 50 people had died from the swine flu vaccine, you know what happened? Off the market. They yanked it right now. That's the standard. You know, every year people die from the flu vaccine.
Sure.
You know how many people die every year from the flu vaccine? 20 to 30.
Yeah. Well, we'd never know that this year because they're not telling us that. I mean, there hasn't been a flu.
Here's my point. Once you hit like 10 to 15 deaths, that medication, whatever it is, vaccine, whatever, it gets a black box warning. This could cause death.
Yep.
That's mandatory for the FDA. Once it hits 50, they pull it. 50 deaths, they pull it. We're at now how many deaths?
Well, from deaths from the vaccine, this is according to VAERS, as of 7 days ago, 3,848 people died from the vaccine.
3,800.
Yep, just
and
about.
48 people.
Yep, 3,848.
That's according to the Vaccine Adverse Event Recording System, which mm-hmm. is reported on the CDC website.
Mm-hmm.
That's a U.S. government entity, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And they're saying 3,848 people who took a shot to prevent getting a sickness that their risk of dying from is a fraction. It's, for the general public, it's 0.00007%.
Mm-hmm.
And they died from it.
Yeah.
Why were all of these vaccines not pulled immediately after they hit 50 deaths?
You know, there's a million questions like that we'd love to find out.
And if we don't start asking those questions and demanding answers to those questions, this slaughter is going to continue. And that's what it is. It's a slaughter. As I mentioned, I think the last week when Harvard University did a study between 2007 and 2010, of the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, they found that less than 1% Paul, less than 1% of the adverse events were actually reported. So less than 1%. But even if we say that it's 10% that's reported, that means only one tenth of the adverse events are actually reported. John, if we multiply 3,848, now I've never been that good with math, but I can do this one. 3,848 deaths. If we make that, if we give them, say that's 10%, it's a tenth of the actual number. So we multiply that by 10, 3,848.
Yep.
That gives us 38,048 deaths from the injection, from the experimental gene therapy shot. That's almost double the number of people that have died from COVID.
Yes.
Let's just think about that for a minute. If we do the math, simple math, using their numbers, using their analysis of how they've overinflated the number of people that have actually died, and use the real number of people that have actually died from COVID, the shot, the vaccine, has killed twice as many people as COVID itself.
Wow.
You know, the common sense, I was thinking about this the other day too, because the common sense factor is just completely out the window. So I was out at Target, and I was just cracking up because, you know, I was in the self-checkout line, because I don't think regular checkouts even exist anymore. But after every single person went through and rang their stuff in, they'd come in, they'd wipe down, you know, the scanner machine and all that stuff.
Right.
I'm like, but I was just over in the produce section, and everybody's touching all the food, moving it around, and somebody had to stock those shelves. I'm pretty sure I don't see any employees wearing gloves. So what is the point?
Yeah, do they wipe down every piece of produce with an antibacteria spray and things like that? Well, yeah. Of course not.
Yeah, not only that, but the whole concept of these gloves is ludicrous. The gloves are not magic, right?
But wait a minute, surgeons wear gloves, so they must work.
Yeah, do you know why surgeons wear gloves? So that they won't get any of that, their bacteria in the open wound of the patient that they're operating on. That's why they wear gloves. But this idea that you're wearing gloves as you're touching everything under the sun, every surface gets touched with the same gloves, you'd be much better off actually having no gloves. In fact, the people that you're serving would be safer if you were not wearing gloves. You know why? Because your skin has a certain ability to deal with virus and bacteria. Right? The gloves don't. Mm-hmm. The gloves are just going to spread it around.
This was months ago, you know, before I boycotted going into Hugo's.
Yeah.
But the lady that was running the register, she had those blue gloves on. And, I mean, the hands of them were black. They were so disgusting. And not only that, but they're also handling money.
Yeah, right.
And money is known to be extremely filthy.
Yes.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be better off, I mean, just to use your bare hands and put a little antibacterial stuff on them every once in a while, but the gloves, they don't spray stuff on their gloves. They think because they have gloves on, they're good.
Or what would be maybe even better is just everybody, when you get home, wash your hands.
Yeah.
Don't touch your nose and mouth until you wash your hands. Don't eat until you wash your hands.
Take some advice from Subway. You ever notice they put on those clear gloves, and then after every sub, they throw them away. They put a new set on.
Mm-hmm. That's why those subs are so expensive.
Yeah.
I knew it. That's the glove tax is in there.
I do have this question. I don't know if you can answer it or not, but I just started thinking about this when we talked about Pfizer. $3.5 billion profit the first 3 months of the year. Now, as far as I'm concerned, and I might be wrong here, but I think the COVID vaccine is free. So if they're making all of this money, who is paying them? I mean, I don't know how this works. Okay.
Well, it's called federal taxes.
Mm-hmm.
They get that money from us. Yeah, President Trump said, yep, we're going to pay for it. He's the one that gave out the money to these companies to manufacture it. And now they're manufacturing it. And I mean, they have been, and now they're rolling it out. So yeah, they get paid.
It's going to be difficult too. Like I said, you know, now that Biden pointed out that anybody that makes less than $2 million a year isn't going to have to pay any taxes.
Which is, that's really scary actually, because as I mentioned before the show, that means he knows something about the coming hyperinflation that the rest of us obviously don't know. If you're working for McDonald's.
I think what it was is he doesn't know how to read a prompter.
Yeah,
and he bumbled his words around again.
Maybe he accidentally disclosed it. Because look, you know what? It's inflation is inevitable.
Sure.
They're printing money like there's no tomorrow, which there may be for a lot of people. I just want to say this. There are a number of individuals, and I would include myself in that group, who are severely concerned. We have legitimate concerns based on the science that has been studied by scientists and doctors who aren't afraid to look at the truth, who believe that in 4 to 6 months, maybe as long as 9 to 12 months for some people, we will be seeing massive sickness and death in that population that took the shot, that took the vaccine. They're anticipating massive sickness and death. And if that were to happen, somebody's got to be blamed. And I think I know who it is. I bet it's going to be me and everybody who refuses to take the vaccine.
Oh,
the
sure.
Vaccine. It's going to be our fault because we didn't achieve herd immunity. Therefore, the virus has become more virulent, and now it's even affecting those people that took the vaccine. Yeah. So it's you idiotic anti-vaxxers that have caused this problem, and that's why, therefore, we must mandate that the vaccine is going to go into every single body in the world, no matter your age, your religion, your personal, whatever, it doesn't matter. You're going to get it.
See, I just assumed they'd blame Trump.
Well, yeah,
they blame him for everything.
But they're trying to forget about him. And frankly, I'm not impressed. This is the first time I'm very, very disappointed with President Trump, because he's been promoting the shot. He's been promoting it. You know, here's an interesting. There's a lot of interesting things. I've got a list of questions that would be, I think, valuable to anybody to ask regarding this. What are the long-term studies? What long-term studies have been done on these shots? Are there more shots to come? What about the warnings for infertility from people that get this injection? Why are so many people that are having the shots now having issues with menstruation? What's up with that? Will I be able to have children in the future if I have the shot? Have studies confirmed that this is safe for childbearing for people that after they have the shot? Why haven't these types of genetic therapy shots been used in the past?
Right.
Why? Why not?
Yeah.
What happened to the animal trials for the vaccines like the COVID-19 vaccine that they did a couple of years ago? What happened to those animals? Hint. They were fine after the shot.
Yeah.
But once they were exposed to the actual virus again in a natural setting, they all got really sick and they died.
And you know, another thing, one I might add, I don't know if it's on your list, but what about people that traditionally give blood? And also plasma. What's going to happen with that? Is it tainted? Is it still good?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, we don't. A lot of unanswered questions. Why did the CDC say that there's no treatment for COVID? Why did they say that there's no treatment for COVID? But now there are multiple treatments that we know of for COVID. You know what? I'm going to suggest a website to the listeners of this program. It's the AAPS, American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. Those brave doctors are not only recognizing that that there are treatments available, but they're making them known on their website.
Yes.
So you can go to their website and actually get the protocol for treating COVID-19.
And I believe most of that stuff you could probably find at our local grocery store monopoly. I don't know if any of that is, do you have to buy that over the counter, or can you just get it on the store shelves?
No. You need it. I mean, these are protocols that you would require a doctor's assistance to get. And so they're also recommending doctors around the country that are treating. They're smart enough and brave enough and moral enough to recognize that they're going to follow their, they're going to be true to their Hippocratic oath, do no harm, and treat the patients according to the best of their ability. Right. Not according to what they're told by their bosses. Don't do that. So the treatment includes things like infusions with the people that have monoclonal antibodies, getting the antibody infusion, hydroxychloroquine with zithromycin or I can't remember the other one. It's the one that I took. I can never remember it. And zinc.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's ivermectin and budesonide and several other drugs. The Dr. Peter McCullough said that the best way to attack COVID is with a kind of a cocktail of different drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And they all need to be prescribed by a physician. And that has worked extremely well It's working extremely well. So again, the question, why have an experimental gene therapy to prevent you from getting a disease for which there is readily available, safe and effective, and even inexpensive treatment? Why?
You know, the thing that's really disturbing about it too is that, you know, you have these kids that are, you know, getting parental approval that are over 16 that are taking it. Something happens down the road, maybe 5 years, who knows what it is. And they're like, oh my God, I can't believe that, you know, this happened. I can't believe that, you know, and people are going to be freaking out. And you know what the vaccine people are going to say? My bad. Did you read the waiver? We don't have any liability for this. Sorry. People are just going to be torn apart.
No liability. So it's literally, so I saw this meme on the internet. Somebody said, would you buy lemonade from a lemonade stand by a guy who's been saying publicly that he thinks that the neighborhood is too large and that he wants to depopulate the neighborhood? Would you buy lemonade from his stand and drink it?
Depends on the neighborhood. No, I wouldn't.
So why is it that when we have somebody like Bill Gates, who has openly declared that the world, the global population is too large, he's not hidden it. He's actually admitted. He believes that. And then he says that through vaccines and medications, we can reduce the global population by 10 to 15% by the year, I think he said 2030. What does that mean? Reduce the global population by 10 to 15%? The global population is what, 7.5 billion people? Mm-hmm. How many millions of people would the vaccines and the medicines have to, wait a minute. I thought vaccines and medications were designed to help you live a longer, healthier life.
Increase the population, not decrease.
How is it that using vaccines and medication is going to reduce the population if the goal of vaccines and medication is to save your life? How does that work? Somebody, please, someone who's better than Matt at math than I am, please write in or call in and explain how that works. What if he actually meant that? What if he actually meant that? And the goal of the vaccine is to reduce the population of the planet.
Nope, little population control.
Population reduction.
Yeah.
Population reduction. Is that absurd? I mean, if something like that were happening, John, you probably would, I mean, they'd have to have a massive program behind it, right? Mm-hmm. They'd have to have censorship in the media. They'd have to censor not just the mainstream media, but also social media. They'd have to come down on people that are putting out any information that would be contrary to their narrative. Yes.
Which they already are doing on social media.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of forgot about that. Oh, by the way, are we off YouTube today?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Dr. David Waterman, from the Midwest Public Health Coalition in the studio today, but we'll get back with him in a minute. You know, there's nothing better than treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods, and that's where you go to O for Heaven's Cakes. That's where they come in. Best cupcakes and cakes for special occasions or maybe just a treat. They make incredible items by order, or you can walk in to find out more. While you're there, why not enjoy some homemade lunch and soup? They've got keto, gluten-free, vegan, and diabetic options. Maybe you own a business, want to treat those good employees to something? Check out their monthly employee discounts. Over Heaven's Cakes on the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall. They're open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4, Saturdays 9 to noon. Call 701-757-CAKE. That's 701-757-2253. Or go to overheavenscakes@yahoo.com. You can be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. Over Heaven's Cakes right here in the Grand Cities Mall. David Waterman, Midwest Public Health Coalition. If you want to find out more about this, go to realcovidfacts.org and get some more of this information. Now
and contribute. Our contribution page is up now. It works. So you can click on the $5, $10, $15, or $100 mm-hmm. contribution, and you can contribute to our efforts. And we really need that now because we've just finished printing a bunch of these. We want to print more, and we've got other materials that we want to print and distribute as well. The goal of Midwest Public Health Coalition, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, John, but I just want to make this quick plug for our organization. We are a nonprofit charitable organization licensed with the state of North Dakota. We're registered, not licensed, registered with the Secretary of State's office as a nonprofit charitable organization, and our goal is public education on everything surrounding, at this point, surrounding the COVID-19 and the misinformation that people, so that people can make real intelligent, informed decisions for themselves and their families. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're about. So, and we would love to have you partner with us and go online and make a contribution, and that would help us tremendously.
You know, you mentioned some of the things over the counter that you can get that doctors are starting to realize.
Prescriptions.
Yeah. Right. So what do you think, like, say, for example, me, I go and talk to my doctor and say, I don't want the vaccine, but I want you to prescribe this, this, and this, and this for me. What do you think they're going to say?
Well, it depends on who the doctor is, because mm-hmm. really there's such a wide range of responses to that kind of question. Some doctors are completely out to lunch. Some of them have, I mean, these are really smart people who, unfortunately, some of them just trust what their bosses say to them. Whatever the policy is for the hospital, you know, you find that everywhere. There are the rule followers, right? Who don't think for themselves. Who follow the rules. Mm-hmm. Whatever they're told, that's what they do. You know why? Because it's safe. It's safe if you follow the rules. Hey, I was just following rules. I was just following orders. We've heard this line for for a long time. It's been around for a long time. Ultimately, it doesn't protect you. If you've done something wrong to harm someone, saying I was just following orders or I was just following the rules doesn't protect you. Ultimately, everybody has to answer to God. And so if you harm your patient because you followed orders and didn't use your own brain to analyze what the problem was and what the options were, then that's on you. And I believe, it's my opinion, that a lot of doctors do that. But there are a growing number of doctors who are saying, hey, wait a minute. This does not add up. What I'm seeing in my patients and what I'm hearing from other doctors and what we're told to do doesn't seem to make sense. Yeah. And that's why more and more doctors, I think, are starting to say, well, wait a minute, what do you have? Do you have? So if you go to American Association of Physicians and Surgeons and you download their protocol, their treatments, they have one for treating sickness, if you're already sick with COVID-19, and for prevention of infection. And you can download that too. And I'll tell you right now for free, it's free on their website too. D3 is one of the most critical vitamins for you to have. Most people are deficient in D3. Mm-hmm. That's the one vitamin that your body really needs, your immune system needs, in order to fight off viral infections.
You know, I mean, this is like out of a movie, you know, but they skipped the whole plot, because in a, you know, like a Grey's Anatomy, you have somebody that comes in, they're really sick. Now, let's just say they're a COVID patient. And they say, okay, we're going to try this. We'll try, you know, bubesonide. We're going to try this. We're going to try this. And then when nothing else works, they say, we're going to try some experimental therapy that has had some success, but it could have some really adverse effects. But that's always the last resort. Now, this is you just missed the whole plot of the show, just to go right to the end and then find out, you know, that the experimental gene therapy probably wasn't the best idea all along, because all those other things may have cured you to begin with. And really quick before I wrap that up, when you talk about these people that are taking the vaccine and they're getting sick, you know, they're getting weak, they're getting COVID-like symptoms, all this stuff. Well, when people get other vaccines like the flu, are they all, every single one of them, like coming out, like, you know, with lymph nodes coming off of them, they feel like they might not live the next day, you know, and it sounds like everybody that's taken like the second booster, they're all like, oh man, I just felt awful for like 2 days. How many people are feeling like that after they take the flu vaccine?
When I got the flu vaccine, I only took the flu vaccine one time and it made me so sick. I'd never gotten that sick with the flu in my life. So that was the last time I took the flu vaccine. But Paul, I'm going to get back to your other statements that you made initially. You asked a very logical question. And so my question for you is, did you go to medical school?
No.
Oh, okay. So how is it that you are able to figure that out and ask that question? Yeah, here's what we're going to try. Just like they do on the TV show. We're going to try this first. If that doesn't work, we'll try this. And then we'll try this. And if none of those things work, then we'll go to some experimental thing that hasn't maybe been fully tested yet to see if that will work. But in the case of coronavirus, in the case of COVID-19, We went right to the experimental thing and bypassed all the things that actually a lot of doctors know are working. Why did we do that? I think that I know the answer. I think the answer is because this was never about treating COVID-19 from the very beginning. It's all been about getting a vaccine from the very beginning. It's been all about injecting this thing into your arm and giving you very little choice in the matter. I think that's been the goal from day one. I think it's been from day one. And so if that's true, then the forces behind this whole effort would have to be significant, right? They would have to be intentionally taking away people's choices to make decisions about their own bodies and their own health. They would have to be well coordinated with the news media and with other forms, other outlets of expression, and certainly social media. They would have to control all of that, right? Because otherwise their plan's not going to work, because there are too many people that are still able to reason like Paul, like you just did, and say, wait a second, how come we're going to this experimental gene therapy when we can treat it mm-hmm. with all these other safe and effective and available drugs?
You know, and I mean, the number you read off earlier, you know, there's a saying, follow the money. Well, I would like for it to be disclosed how many people like have made millions of dollars that have invested in the Pfizer vaccine. Because you said it was like $3.4 billion in profits already in like 3 months.
3.5.
Yeah. So I want to see the records of the people that are invested in it. And I want to see if Fauci is invested in it, if Gates is invested in it, and all these other people that are just banking off of this.
Or the NIH. NIH, are they invested? Well, I can answer that one. Yeah, they're co-patent holders with the Moderna vaccine.
What's the NIH?
National Institutes of Health.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're getting their little piece of the pie, too, then.
How about that? Yeah, government agency. Wait a second. They own part of the patent? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, we can. I would love to dig into that on another show, but right now I want to make sure that I finish this point about this idea of people controlling what other people are saying. I think it was Voltaire who said, you want to know who your ruler is? Find out who it is that you can't criticize.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pause for a minute and think about that. Find out who the ruler is, who's ruling you. Just ask who you are not allowed to criticize. And right now, nobody can criticize the vaccine or the vaccine manufacturers. Well, the vaccine manufacturers, they've got full indemnity, right? So when you sign that consent form that says you're informed, you're not informed, first of all, unless you understand all the number of people that have died from taking this injection and the number of people who've gotten seriously ill or been paralyzed from taking this infection, infection is kind of the...
Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't gotten that information, if you don't know what the risks are, then you're not informed and you cannot give informed consent. Well, but you sign on the line saying, yep, I was informed, so I know the risks. The moment you do that, you grant full immunity from any prosecution or any accusation from you against the manufacturer for hurting you, right? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't recognize that, don't realize that, because we live in America. So you sue someone that does something that hurts you, right? No, you can't in this case. You cannot do it. So going back to the issue of censorship, which is what this is, what's been going on, it's censorship. You cannot criticize the vaccine.
I was actually just going to jump in on that too, because I mean, even if you put a hashtag for like Bill Gates or anything, I mean, you get shut down. And I just want, I heard about this, but I just want to see if it works. We're going to put the mic up to, hey Alexa, who's the most powerful doctor in the world?
While it's difficult to determine the world's most powerful doctor, some doctors with the most international influence are Deputy Director General of the World Health Organization, Dr. Zhuzhana Jakub, Director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, and the International President of Doctors Without Borders, Dr. Christos Christou.
Okay, well, what's the one that where you get, what's the question you asked to get the Gates one? Who's the...
I don't have Alexa, so...
One more time here. Hey, Alexa, who's the most important doctor in the world?
Here's something I found on the web. According to Quora.com, Dr. Oz Dr. Oz is probably the most famous doctor in the world.
Well, that didn't work. But anyway, somebody showed me that if you do it, it'll actually say Bill Gates.
It's
Bill Gates.
It's entertaining anyway. Dr. Joseph Mercola is an award-winning, nationally recognized doctor. He's written a number of books. He's got a website called Mercola.com. He's published articles and interviews on his website regarding COVID-19. If you go to realcovidfacts.org, you'll see links directly to some of the interviews that he's done with experts about COVID-19. This is his latest article on COVID-19. It's entitled, Why I'm Removing All Articles Related to Vitamins D, C, Zinc, and COVID-19, by Dr. Joseph Mercola. Did you hear that? The title is, Why I'm Removing All Articles Related to Vitamins D, C, Zinc, and COVID-19. Over the past year, I've been researching, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Over the past year, I've been researching and writing as much as I can to help you take control of your health, as fear-mongering media and corrupt politicians have destroyed lives and livelihoods to establish global control of the world's population using the COVID-19 pandemic as their justification. I've also kept you informed about billionaire-backed front groups like the Center for Science and the Public Interest, a partner of Bill Gates' Alliance for Science, both of whom have led campaigns aimed at destroying my reputation and censoring the information I share. Other attackers include HealthGuard, which ranks the health sites based on certain sets of credibility criteria. It has sought to discredit my website by ensuring warnings appear whenever you search for my articles or enter my website in an internet browser. Here's the story at a glance. Here's a summary. Over the past year, this is Dr. Joseph Mercola speaking. Over the past year, I've been researching and writing as much as I can to help you take control of your health. And through it all, I have refused to succumb to these relentless attacks because they've been attacking him. I've been confident and willing to defend myself in the court of law. Unfortunately, threats have now become very personal and have intensified to the point I can no longer preserve much of the information and research I've provided to you thus far. So, effective immediately, much of the information on my website will be permanently removed. What do you think about that, John?
Either it sounds like to me that's coming from somebody who's afraid of getting a little bit of feedback or just sick and tired of it. Censorship, the whole thing.
Well, I'll read again what he says. He says, through it all, I've refused to succumb to these relentless attacks. I've been writing and researching over the past year as much as I can to help you take control of your health, as fear-mongering media and corrupt politicians have destroyed lives and livelihoods to establish global control of the world's population using COVID-19 as their justification. He's been attacked. His reputation, they've tried to destroy his reputation. They've tried to censor the information. These attackers like HealthGuard, which inserts warnings whenever you do a search for his articles or his website and internet browser. So they're literally attacking him directly.
Yeah.
And they have been for the past year. But he says, unfortunately, threats have now become very personal and have intensified to the point I can no longer preserve much of the information and research I've provided to you thus far. So effective and immediately, much of the information on my website will be permanently removed. I'll tell you something. I have been incredibly impressed over the past year as I've gone to Mercola.com and looked at his website and seen the information that he's been providing by top doctors in the field. Doctors like Dr. Judy Mikovits, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, from up in Canada, the scientist who did this, the intensive review of all the masks. I'm sorry, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. All of these interviews or articles have been incredibly helpful and in revealing what's going on. It's helped me personally. It's helped our mission. And now he's saying, but he's been attacked regularly for the past year.
Yeah.
But now he's saying the attacks have become so personal that he can't bear up under it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And it's ridiculous.
So what's a personal attack? What would be an example of a personal attack?
Well, you know, not just talking about your work and your research, but I'm sure knowing the way social media is, it's been, saying, oh, yeah, wait till I find you. Wait till I find your kids or your wife, or you better not let your dog run around my neighborhood, or you know.
In the words of Maxine Water, get in their face.
Yeah, yeah.
Or in the words of some other folks, and this is real. I'm going to give you a real example. I think he gave it once before, a month and a half or so ago. Denny Rancourt, by the way, that was the name. That's the person, okay. the gentleman up from Canada. Dr. Denny Rancourt. What happens when you get a phone call that says, yeah, your 6-year-old son left the house at 7:45 this morning.
Yeah.
Got to school at 7:55, walked in. Carrying his blue backpack with the Snoopy thing on it, and he was wearing a blue t-shirt and a whatever, and he left at this time. And if you want your son to continue to go to school and come home, you're going to stop doing this. And then they hang up the phone. Do you think that only happens in the movies?
Oh, right.
No, that happens for real.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about with the COVID pandemic, and Dr. McCullough is just one of them. Lots of people who are doing what he's trying to do are getting the same kinds of threats. So if they can't take them down, if they can't censor them, if they refuse to, if they continue to have a robust response, then they've got to get personal. So how much at what point do you start saying, you know what, maybe this is real. Maybe this is real. Maybe I've got to protect my family first.
Well, freedom of speech is becoming a thing of the past.
Well, the fact is that there have always been bullies, right?
Since
grade school, bullies in the playground, people that are willing to walk all over you if you let them, and that didn't stop after grade school or after junior high or high school, right? That goes on right now today. Ted Bundy was a sociopath.
Yeah.
Do you know that the judge who sentenced him said what a shame it was that he was sentencing him because he was so brilliant?
Mm-hmm.
He said, a mind like yours, brilliant. What if Ted Bundy had never gotten caught? What if Ted Bundy was, do you think that there's only one sociopath in the world, in the country? How do you know that we don't have sociopaths at the top of the ladder in the medical industry or in any industry? Or in government, people that wouldn't think twice about snuffing all of us out and then go and have a sandwich.
I don't know if the doctor you're referring to is the same one that I saw, but there was one out of Minnesota, and he was a senator, and he was getting attacked because he was, going against the normal of what they're being told to say.
Right.
Well, then he ended up resigning and not having to do anything with politics anymore. So then they went after his doctor's license.
Right.
And, I mean...
So why?
Basically destroyed him.
So let's ask the question, who's doing that and why are we allowing that to happen in America? Because the truth of the matter is there are a lot more of us than there are of them.
Mm-hmm.
And all it's going to take for them to win is for us to let them. I just want to say that again. All it will take for them to win is for us to let them. Just so you know, this guy, Dr. Joseph Mercola, this guy that I just read his quote about why he's removing this information, this life-saving information from his website, is because the attacks, the threats against him personally have become so severe that he just can't keep this information on his website anymore out of risk to his personal safety. This is a guy that I did not learn about 6 months ago or 9 months or a year ago. I've been watching and following and reading articles by Dr. Joseph Mercola for years. He didn't just pop up overnight like a mushroom when COVID-19 happened. He's been writing and researching on health and medicine and nutrition for years. Actually, it's been for decades. So I trust this man because he's proved a source of tremendous information for a long time for me and my family.
We're just kind of getting a little warmed up here for next Tuesday, aren't we?
Pretty much, yes, kind of. Well, you know, actually, yeah. Let me bring up something a little bit more current because this is one of the problems. You're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. Today's Tuesday. Last night, there was a city council meeting. Here's a quote from our mayor. Vaccine rollout has gone well, but of course it's starting to slow the uptake. So I think it's really combating vaccine hesitancy with vaccine convenience is really the battle right now. And Paul, you were saying, yeah, there are these groups that are having this, you know, these vaccine events where you show up at a local business to get your vaccine.
And they promote it on all their social media websites and all that kind of stuff.
And they promote a downtown vax event with live entertainment Thursday at the Empire. J&J and Pfizer vaccines, both available. The mayor said a lot of downtown establishments have generally partnered together. And then he lists them. Sorry, I'm not going to list them. And then he explains, you go down, get vaccinated. There'll be live entertainment while you're waiting for those 15 minutes. The cool thing is you get a free coupon for a beverage from one of those places, adult or otherwise, end quote. I'm sorry. That's wrong.
I like beer, but not that much.
That is just wrong. When they've got to bribe you to take a safe and effective vaccine with a drink or any other inducement, does that tell you something? I mean, hello, folks. Can we think like adults for a minute? You got to be bribed to take this safe and effective injection that's never been tested on laboratory animals. Never test on a laboratory. No animal testing. Oh, just trust us. The gene therapy will work. It won't make you sick, even though it makes a lot of people sick. It won't kill you, even though it's killed a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Won't kill you. Oh, the CDC, by the way, they just did an analysis of 1,600 of the deaths that were reported on VAERS. And guess what they figured out? Those deaths weren't caused by the vaccine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, even though other doctors who are experts in that field, like Dr. Peter McCullough, say it would take months to evaluate all of those cases. Months of having panels of doctors evaluating those cases in order to come to any kind of a determination like that. Not overnight, but they did it overnight because they're the CDC, so they can do it. Why do you think they would do that? Maybe because the number of deaths was just getting too high for their comfort level. Sure. So they had to... just had to get rid of some of those numbers. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you don't think that this whole thing stinks to high heaven, you're sleeping.
RealCOVIDFacts.org. David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. As always, it's been fun having you in the studio. And I can't wait till next Tuesday. Hopefully we'll have Dr. Dan Stanislawski back with you.
I think he'll be back.
Between
yes.
the two of you, we get a lot of people following, and that's a good thing because they're finally starting to look on their own. People are finally starting to take your advice, Dr. Dan's advice, our advice, do a little bit of research on your own and you decide, don't let anybody else decide for you.
That's really it. And John, I don't mean, of course, to disparage anybody in your audience, because I think that you do have one of the most intelligent audiences of any broadcast or media group at least in Grand Forks. I think that the folks that listen to the show are pretty well informed. Based on the, I haven't even looked at a free shot for a free shot, sickening.
Yeah.
Right. I heard an ad on the radio that you get a free donut for a year with your vaccine card.
And Paul, I wonder if that doctor you were talking about is that Scott Jensen, maybe running for governor of Minnesota?
I think it was Scott Jensen.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
Right. Next week, let's talk about the TNI. Have you heard of TNI?
I've heard of TNA.
No, this is TN. T TNI, Paul.
Okay.
It stands for the Trusted News Initiative. I guarantee you're not part of it.
Yeah.
And you never will be.
Mm-hmm.
I hope.
No, I know
you never will be. Know what the Trusted News Initiative is? It's a coalition of news organizations, including groups like the Associated Press, the CNN, I'd rather read the list. Who are going to make sure that they tamp down on any misinformation about COVID, like any suggestion, for example, that the vaccine might be dangerous. Not going to allow any of that to go out. They're going to counter that information with their information, which is truly misinformation and disinformation. But that's the Trusted News Initiative. I've got it on my phone. I'm sorry I didn't print it out, or I would have it for you, and I could. I haven't memorized all those groups.
We got a whole week to warm up for that one. I can't wait.
Yeah, and a lot's going to happen between now and next Tuesday. So I would urge the listeners to go to realcovidfacts.org. We're trying to keep the website updated with new information as we can. We don't have the resources right now to hire a full-time web person, which we really need. In fact, Dr. Stanislavski had done some work on the website, and he said, you know what? He said, we really need a person who can do this full-time. And I said, yeah, you're right, because it's changing so quickly. But folks, please take your health seriously. Take vitamin D3, take vitamin C, keep your body well, and you have nothing to worry about from this virus. I think that we've probably already reached herd immunity. You notice that nobody, including Fauci or anybody else, will bother to tell you what they mean by herd immunity. Mm-hmm. Well, what number do we have to have? Well, they won't tell you. By the way, here's something that's really important. If you're considering getting the shot and you've already had COVID and have recovered, according to one of the top doctors in the country, again, Dr. Peter McCullough, you have full, complete, and robust immunity against COVID-19. If you are a COVID recovered patient, as I am now, you have full, complete, and robust immunity against COVID-19 that will last for a minimum of 17 years. How do we know it lasts for a minimum of 17 years? Because the people that got SARS and recovered from it, they now have immunity. It's been 17 years since they got sick and they still have immunity.
Sure.
They are still immune from COVID-19. Guess what? Those folks aren't getting COVID-19. You know why? Because their antibody system, their immune system, recognizes COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, as if it were SARS. It's 20% different, but the immune system is so smart that it sees it as the same virus that attacks it, it kills us. So people that have immunity to SARS also have immunity to SARS-CoV-2. Here's the downside. It's not really a downside. Here's the bad news. If you have recovered from COVID-19, yes, you have full, complete, robust immunity. However, if you take the injection, your likelihood of having an adverse reaction is 2 to 3 times higher than someone who's never had COVID.
Something to think about.
Yeah, and I'm going to play the music here. And I just want to really point out one thing that you may mention at the very beginning of the show. What was the new study that the CDC said that I just want to kind of recap on that really quick before we end.
Well, let's see here. Vaccine breakthrough infections.
Yeah, the breakthrough infection. What mm-hmm. What is that again?
People with the shot still get COVID. 7,157 fully vaccinated Americans have still caught COVID-19 as of April 20th, according to the CDC, and 88 people who have got the vaccine have died.
All right, that's what I got to end this on.
All right. There we go. David Waterman, thank you so much for coming into the studios again. And again, next Tuesday, Dr. Dan Stanislavski, hopefully going to be joining us on the show, too. And special thanks going out to Probita's Promotions. Now, if you want to boost your brand, do you want your business to stand out from the crowd? Well, look no further than Probita's Promotions. They'll consult with you at no cost, find the perfect swag for your business, logoed apparel,
hats, promotional products, trade show displays, and awards. Now, Provitas is the region's top provider for free online stores, and now Provitas Promotions offers free shipping. Any item, any size order, you get free ground shipping to one location. Locations in Grand Forks, Fargo, Bismarck, and Minot, you can get the perfect apparel, team, spirit wear, and more, and all with free shipping. Probitas Promotions, call 1-866-PRO-SWAG or shop ProbitasPromo.com. Boost your brand and stand out from the crowd with Probitas Promotions. And a special shout out going out to Russ and the guys at Throttle Addictions. They're going to be set up at the Red River Valley Motorcyclist Spirit of America Bike and Car Show this weekend at the Alaris Center in Grand Forks. Big multi-prize raffle going on, cars and motorcycles, live music by Kenny and the Classics. And if you want to go, shoot us a text. We've got some tickets here, and thanks to Throttle Addiction. Well, tomorrow we talk with local artist Heather Krause. She's got her big art show coming up. Remember to like, share, tag, and follow us, and hit that notification bell too, okay? We all know Grand Forks is a pretty groovy place. Well, Grand Forks' best source is giving it an identity again.